So when you're in a marriage relationship, we often bring baggage into this relationship. Husband brings baggage, wife brings baggage. And if you want a good relationship, you have to get the baggage disposed of in some way or another. Does that make sense to you? Okay. And some of us are still working on our baggage. It's probably a lifetime effort to get rid of those things. But also, it's the same with our relationship with Jesus. When we come to a relationship with Jesus Christ, we invite him into our heart. We repent of our sins. We become a child of God, but we discover that all of the baggage didn't just go away whenever we came to that relationship. We bring that baggage with us. And so part of the discussion that we've been having lately regarding soul ties and regarding fleshly appetites is to get rid of some of the baggage that we bring into this relationship with Jesus Christ. Today, we're going to be talking about a subject called soul ties. How many of you have ever heard of soul ties before? About a fifth of you. So this is going to be new information for some of you, but it's very important information. And a lot of times when I talk about new stuff, people just kind of close their ears because it's new to them. But please don't close your ears today, because what I have to share with you, I think, is going to be impactful for every single one of you, whether you're married, whether you're not married, whether you've been married, or whether you want to be married. Okay, I think it's going to be impactful for you. So please hang on to your seat, and I will try to get this done in the next hour. Okay. So this is actually a two-part series in this regards to the soul ties. So I will be talking about that this week as well as next week. So let's start with a definition. What is a soul tie? Bonding together, knitting together of two souls in mind, will, and or emotions. A bonding together, knitting. How many of you do knitting? So that knitting, you know, you've got a piece of yarn and you make some kind of tapestry or quilt or something, knitting this together. When you were talking about soul ties, we're talking about two individuals coming together and becoming knitting together in mind, in their will, and in their emotions. Now, sometimes there are some healthy soul ties. We're going to talk about that first. There's some very healthy soul ties that are good, and they can exist in a healthy parent-child relationship. When a mom particularly has a child, I guess it's always a mom, but when a mom has a child, there's a bonding that takes place with that child immediately. And so it's the same thing with the dad. Whenever the child is born, there can be that bonding, and that bonding goes on not just for till they get married, but it's forever. That bonding is there forever. Someone asked me one time, he said, now that your children are married, do you find yourself praying less for them? I said, no, that's not the case. I find myself praying more for them. There's a bond there that, you know, that should be there, and it's a healthy thing, and it should be there forever. There's also healthy soul ties can exist between balanced, close friendships. Listen to this passage of scripture. It says, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. They were really good friends. Really good friends. As a matter of fact, so much so that Jonathan decided one day, Jonathan realized that David was going to be the next king. Now, Jonathan was, because of his lineage, he was to be the next king. But Jonathan realized that God had already appointed David. And so one day, Jonathan comes out and Jonathan takes off his coat, his priestly coat, his princely coat, and he gives it to David. He takes his sword, he gives it to David. He takes his belt off and gives it to David. He takes the things that he would recognize, or people would recognize him as being the next king, he gives that all to David. You've heard this saying, well, he'd take the shirt off his back. That was Jonathan. He had that kind of relationship with David, and they became very, very close friends. So much so that even when Jonathan died, David took care of his child. it's incredible, that story. I'd encourage you to read it in 1 Samuel, beginning in verse 8 to chapter 18 is where we were talking about. But it was a very deep friendship. In Scripture, we don't have the term soul tie, but it's a term we use to identify this type of friendship, okay, or this type of relationship. Intimate, healthy marriages can also be and are godly, healthy soul ties. Listen to this in passage in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. A man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. They two shall be one flesh. That, you know, I'd read that passage of Scripture, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we find that same verbiage used, that they two shall become one flesh. And I'm thinking, Lord, what in the world does that mean? I can understand two people coming one in soulish, maybe, and feeling each other and thinking like each other and that kind of thing. But what does it mean to be one flesh? I'm going to explain that to you here later. Also, healthy soul ties are a blessing from God. We look at Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. Scripture says, a man who has friends must show himself friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. A few weeks ago, we were talking about disassociating yourself from fleshly appetites. You remember that? And one of the things that I suggested to you was that sometimes we have to disassociate ourselves from people, because people will drag us down. People will carry us to places or encourage us to go places that we ought not go. And so sometimes you have to disassociate yourself from those individuals, even family members, because they can take you down. But there are some people, and you may be one of those, who, though you know it's wrong to participate and associate with that person, there's something within you that keeps drawing you back to that individual. That's an unhealthy soul tie. And those things ought to be broken, and those things need to be broken. So here's one of the things. Once you disassociate yourself from them physically, you need to begin to look for someone who's going to be healthy in relationships. Okay. And this is a good place to find those. If you're lonely and looking for someone to help you and encourage you, I would suggest you not go to the bar. Okay. I would suggest that you find healthy, wholesome places to go, because that's where you're going to find healthy, wholesome friendships. And one thing this proverb says, if you want friends, you got to be friendly. Right? I mean, that's kind of a no-brainer, but just kind of give that out to you. If you want friends, you better be friendly to them. If you're not friendly, you're not going to have many friends. Proverbs 18:22, another healthy soul tie as a blessing. Scripture says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Husbands, did you know that your wives are a blessing? Husbands, I want you to turn to your wife and say, you're a blessing. Tell her you're a good thing. Did you know that the husbands, that's not said about husbands? I don't know. I don't understand that. I would have thought God, he would have said husbands, wives. I would have thought that's what he would have said. That's not what he said. And I don't know what to do with that. But anyway, you just have to love us as we are, I guess, whether we're a good thing or not. We have to try. Yeah, much harder. So healthy soul ties bring unity and strength in Ecclesiastes 4, 9, 10, and 12. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Have you ever tried to do something on your own and just had a difficult time doing it? And then you find someone to come along beside you, and it makes things go a whole lot easier. Verse 10 says, for if they fall, one will lift his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Have you ever been discouraged and depressed and down and not have anyone to call, not have anyone to reach out to, and no one reaching out to you to say, hey, how are you doing? How are you doing? I tell you what, that's a miserable place to be. All of us get down sometime. All of us get discouraged sometime. And it's okay to say, hey, friend, I need your prayers right now. I need your prayers because I'm having a horribly bad day. It's okay to say that. Did you know that Christians have horribly bad days too? But did you know there are some Christians who are afraid to say that because they say it's a lack of faith? Oh, I can't say how I'm feeling because it's a lack of faith. What if God gave you a friend to help you in those times? What if God gave you someone to reach out to during those times and who wants to reach out to you? Listen, don't get stuck in your little house cocooning by yourself. This thing with the COVID mess, with the isolation, that's the worst thing that could have happened. You know, when they say that the worst punishment in a prison system is isolation. And a lot of people have been in prison. And a lot of people have caught on anxiety through this time. And it's time for us to break out. It's time for us to be free. It's time for us to reach out and help others get out of the pit of where the enemy has put them. And if that's where you are, listen, I want to tell you, there's help for you. There's hope for you. You don't have to stay stuck. Okay. There's people in this church who care about you. Every single one of you. Every one of you. There's people in this church who care about you, but you have to get to a place where you're able to receive it. Okay. So, good, godly, healthy, wholesome soul ties need to be formed and established. You have to do that. However, ungodly, unhealthy soul ties need to be broken by disassociation and by renouncing the tie. So let's look at a few examples of unhealthy soul ties. First definition, unhealthy soul ties are an ungodly covenant with another person based on an unhealthy emotional and or sexual relationship. So this covenant, unhealthy covenant, binds two people together. And God recognizes these covenants. Though he doesn't like it, he recognizes them as covenants. And he leaves us the freedom to decide when we want to disassociate, when we want to break those covenants, those unhealthy covenants with other people. Now, most ungodly soul ties, we'll start with unhealthy emotional soul ties. A girlfriend, boyfriend, let's just say that your first attraction is in high school, and you just fell deeply in love, head over heels, in love with this fella or this lady, and you can't keep thinking about them, though you've moved on and she's moved on, he's moved on, you've moved on, but yet you keep thinking about this person, their picture just keep coming to mind. That's not of God. Okay? That's not of God. And so what God wants to do is to get you to a point where you're able to break free from that. And so that's one example of unhealthy soul tie. Your first love. And sexual encounters did not have to be a part of it. You're still a part mentally and emotionally, you're still connected to that person. Also, an unhealthy emotional soul tie can be between child and parents. Did you know that there are some parents that are not healthy? There are some parents who are abusive. They're mean. They are horrible. Their children. And those children will take those wounds with them to the grave unless something happens in their relationship with Jesus Christ. And the Lord brings healing to those wounds. So one of the things that we need to do is break those soul ties, even though they were supposed to have been healthy. They may not have been healthy. And so we need to break those soul ties with our unhealthy parents. And I know that sounds weird, but that's exactly what needs to do be done. Anytime you have an unhealthy relationship, it needs to be severed. Physically and emotionally. A third unhealthy emotional tie can be any friendship where the motivation of a relationship is impure. So impure relationships hinder proper alignment in relationship with God. It hinders proper alignment in relationship with other people, including a spouse. If you have impure, have you ever heard of codependency? Okay, so that's kind of, that's not something we want to do. We want to be dependent upon the Lord, not dependent upon each other. And of course we are in some regards, and all of us are, but there's something about you have to have that person to feel like you're whole. You have to have that person with you to feel like you have meaning in life. Whenever we have emotional dependency, I'm not healthy unless you're near me. Whenever we have manipulation, a person manipulates the situation or tries to control the situation, that's unhealthy. Okay, and so those are there. You can put up boundaries and say, this is the right thing, and I'm not going to go beyond that. And if you've had those kind of friendships, there may be a connection still that you need to break those relationships with. Another unhealthy emotional soul tie is those who are connected with the cult, occult fraternities that are unhealthy fraternities. There are sometimes you in a fraternity, you're taking vows that are ungodly vows. And you're connecting with people who are ungodly. And so those kind of things need to be broken. And I'm not going to take a lot of time to go into that. I just want to give that to you. And one of the things, too, if you in the past have been involved in drugs, psychotic drugs, things that hallucinogenic drugs, you do that with other people, there's also a connection there. And I would just suggest that you break those soul ties as well. Does that make sense? Okay. If you have any questions, put them on your communication card and we can talk about it later, but I've still got quite a bit to go. All right. So one of the most frequent unhealthy soul tie has to do with sexual immorality. And sexual immorality is sexual relationships prior to marriage or adulterous relationships after you've been married. There's one wholesome relationship, sexual relationship, that's within the confines of marriage. Anything outside the confines of marriage is sexual immorality. Okay. And that's what scripture identifies as sexual immorality. And it could be heterosexual, it could be homosexual, it could be any and all of the above. Okay. The only proper sexual relationship is within the confines of marriage. So, I'm sorry, man and a woman, yes. So we're living in some unprecedented times in our nation where there are people having multiple partners. Even married, they have multiple partners. And it's okay with the husband and or the wife that it's okay that that's going on. It's kind of a weird society we're living in. In our society, there's no longer a moral code that we're expected to live by. Whatever, and here's the deal, whatever the flesh desires to do, the culture says, well, that's okay because that's that just brings you happiness and that's good for you. It's your truth. You don't have to listen to any other truth. It's just your truth. And if you want to beat up on everybody else, well, that's your truth. It's what brings you happiness. As long as Isn't that weird? So our flesh desires to do things that are contrary to the word of God, and the culture says that's okay, and applauds the licentious behavior and encourages that type of behavior. So Christians are encouraged to be a participant. What did I write here? Encouraged not to be a participant or condone such behavior because we're held to a higher standard. Okay? Our standard is not set by the world, but our standard is set by Jesus Christ himself. Our standard is set by this word and nobody else's word. And if anybody gets confused about who says what, we need to go back to what God says, because he's the one that made the moral code. Okay? He's the one that establishes this. Jesus was crucified for the world. Even those who disagree with his word, he died for them. Do you know that Jesus was crucified because he was different from the world? He didn't embrace what the world had to give. He had his own moral code, and he established that eons ago. And so we need to look at what God says and not what the world says. We need to look at what God says and not what our government says. We need to look at what God says and not what our culture says. Listen to this passage of scripture. 1 Corinthians 6, 15 through 20. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Sorry. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So there's a lot to unpack here. I'm not going to unpack it all today. That's next week. Okay. However, what I do want to focus on today is what happens when you have a sexual encounter with someone. Scripture says, God said, you become one spirit with Jesus Christ when you receive him as your personal Lord and Savior. You become one with him. And just as you become one with him, when you have a sexual encounter with someone, you become one with them. That's what it says here. It says again, it repeats Genesis chapter 2, where it says, you shall become one flesh. For many years, I'm like, God, I don't understand that. Have you ever read something in Scripture and said, man, I don't understand that? And a lot of times I'm reading Scripture and I'm like, God, I don't understand that. And I put a date beside when I'm asking God, Lord, would you give me understanding on this passage of Scripture? Okay. And so every time I would read this passage of Scripture about two becoming one flesh, it's like, that's weird. But did you know that there are sometimes that there are things that are spoken in Scripture that we don't find out scientifically until thousands of years after it's written? Okay. So guess what? There's been a study, a research from Seattle University and the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center has accidentally revealed that a portion of DNA from every man with whom a woman has sex ends up staying with her forever, lodged in her brain. It goes on to say, I'm not going to read the whole study, but it turns out that a woman's neurological system often harbors male microchimerism, and I'll explain that in a minute, meaning her brain absorbs male DNA that stays with her whenever she procreates with one, and the more men a woman sleeps with, the more male DNA becomes a part of her. Microchimerism is the presence of a small number of cells in an individual that have originated from another individual and are therefore genetically distinct. The study explains that 63% of the females tested, 37 of 59, were found to have male microchimerism in the brain and in multiple regions of the brain. This means that the male DNA is now a part of those women's neurological systems. To remain politically correct, the study concludes that the male DNA must have come from a male pregnancy. The reality, though, is that even women who have never been pregnant, who have slept with many men, bear the same male microchimerism as women who are moms of boys. Try as they might to hide the truth, researchers who have been brave enough to unpack this phenomenon further have concluded that sexually active women are, in fact, absorbing male DNA every time they engage in the act, regardless of whether or not they become pregnant and bear a child. The only logical conclusion is that the simple act of having sex, no matter the outcome, is enough to transfer male DNA to a woman's brain while it remains permanently and becomes a part of her own genetic makeup. This has very important ramifications for women, News Punch reports. Every male you absorb spermatozoa from becomes a living part of you for life. The women autopsied in this study were elderly. Some had been carrying the living male DNA inside them for well over 50 years. Women who save themselves from marriage and who only ever have sex with one man becomes joined to that one man and him only. Women who engage in promiscuous sex, we now know, are altering their bodies in ways that are only just now beginning to be understood. Isn't that incredible? That is crazy. Crazy. And you wonder why we got so much problems in our society. And I just want to say this. This study is only done with women. There's yet to be a study done with men, but I guarantee you it's going to be the same thing because God said it already in Scripture. Okay? What we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 addresses the man who has sexual relationships with a harlot, and it's the man who becomes flesh. So it's the same thing. Whether we have discovered it yet scientifically or not, it's the very same thing. Okay? Now, I'm not preaching this message to make you feel horrible about yourself, because there is hope. Every single one of us come to Christ with baggage. Okay, I guarantee every single one of us come with baggage. Whether it's this kind of baggage or some other kind of baggage, we all come to the same place, to the cross, with garbage in our lives that need to be addressed, that needs to be removed from our lives so that we can live a victorious Christian life. So the reason I'm preaching this is because some of you need to address these issues. Now, this study says that it's there forever. But I disagree. 1 John 1:9 says, we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We don't have to be in the same place. We don't have to carry that garbage in our heart. Don't have to carry that garbage in our mind. Don't have to carry the DNA of the people that we've been with in the past. We don't have to do that because Jesus said, I will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So here's what I've done. I've written a prayer. It's on your seat. It's on a yellow piece of paper. And I would encourage you to take this paper home and you begin to work through this and address every soul tie specifically. And as we read through this, you're going to find there's some things we did not cover today that I'm going to cover next week. But you need to get a head start. And even if you don't understand why Pastor Brad wrote that for this prayer, well, you have to come back next week to find out. Okay? And it goes like this. Dear Heavenly Father, I have sinned against you and in your sight. Oh, by the way, I put it on the overhead so that people who are looking, maybe coming later and viewing our website, they can see the prayer up online as well. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, I have sinned against you and in your sight. I have also sinned against my body. I've yoked myself with an unbeliever. I have embraced the spirits of darkness and the gods of this world when I became emotionally and or sexually involved with whoever. But put their name there. And you know, there are some people I've counseled and they said, well, I can't remember all the names of everybody. God does. Okay. And so if that is the case, then you just address those as God leads you. And if it's important, specifically the names, then God will bring those to mind. Okay? But don't just go through this cursory and say, Lord, I just forgive me for all of them. And did it? No. Because there's a deeper connection with some people than there are other people. And those need to be addressed individually. Okay? I'll encourage you. I don't care if it's 100. I don't care if it's 1,000. Do them one at a time. Okay? Do them one at a time. Because it may be the Lord will show you something in the midst of that that you need to address. You may have some forgiveness. Did you know that it's hard? It's impossible, really, to disconnect soul ties until you forgive that individual. And I didn't put that in here, but that's an issue. Okay? Let's go on. I have embraced the spirits of darkness and the gods of this world when I became emotionally and or sexually involved with so-and-so. Please forgive me. I confess, repent, and renounce all association with so-and-so, both physically and emotionally. I choose to separate myself from them physically, spiritually, and emotionally in the name of Jesus. I cancel Satan's authority over me and the soul tie that I have with so-and-so. And I ask, Lord, that you would return to me every part of myself that so-and-so is holding. And I release every part of so-and-so that I am holding and ask you, oh, Lord, to remove from me and return to so-and-so what I have held. In the name of Jesus, I break every stronghold held over me because of my sin with this individual. I command every spirit that has been transferred to me through this union. Go to the feet of Jesus now in the name of Jesus. Dear Lord Jesus, cleanse my mind, my soul, my body, every part of my being that has been affected because of this sin, this soul tie. I ask you to cleanse me now. Recorder, take your recordings. Photographer, take your images. Librarian, take your memories. I command you to go to the feet of Jesus now in the name of Jesus. I command all spirits and demons that have been assigned to me because of this sin, including depression and oppression, to go to the feet of Jesus now in Jesus' holy name. Thank you, Lord, for cleansing me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, oh Lord, I pray. Amen. And then, Holy Spirit, speak to me about this situation. Is there anything more I need to do to be completely free from this unhealthy soul tie? Then you listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. So you have to find a quiet place. Listen. Get your mind at a place where you can hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. And when you feel freedom from that, you can move on to the next. Does that make sense? Okay. God wants you free. Christ said, I have come to set you free, and you will be free indeed. But we have to do the work with him. Okay, we have to do the work with him. We're all in the process. We're all in the process. God wants to set you free. And here's the thing. If you've never received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you still have some cling-ons from your past, Christ wants to set you free from even the bondage of sin, the power of sin in your life. He wants to do that. He died to set you free. His blood was shed to set you free. But you have to receive it. So if you're here today without Christ, I'm going to invite, even before the instrumentalists come up and musicians come up to play, I'm going to ask you just to come up here. I want to pray with you and I will pray for you. And you may feel like, man, I don't know what to do. I feel I need the power of the Holy Spirit to even work through this. I want you to come up. I want to pray for you too. Okay? So, Father, I come before you, and Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this message, and I thank you for you wanting to set us free. Lord, what a wonderful God you are. And Lord, we give you the praise, we give you the glory, we give you the honor that not only do you want us to forgive us of our sin, but you want to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's what you came to do. And we give you the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.